nanohub.org.
You can follow along with this presentation using printed slides from the NanoHub. Visit www.nanohub.org and download the PDF file containing the slides for this presentation. Print them out and turn each page when you hear the following sound. Enjoy the show.
Thank you, Ricardo. Good afternoon, everybody. It's a pleasure to be here, and I thank all organizers for the kind opportunity to give a talk here. And what I'll be talking today can be explained as the following agenda. After a small introduction, I will give you the description of the model we start to use in simulation dynamic AFM modes. Then give a couple of examples of application of this model to the high-resolution imaging and also to the tapping mode curves. Also, I will blend the information concerning composition and mapping of model polymer blends and also local mechanical probing, either using the indentation or using the amplitude versus Z curves in tapping mode. And after that, I will come to some kind of summary. The idea, I think everybody knows that practical value atomic force microscopy is defined by its really excellent function in high resolution visualization, compositional mapping, and also probing, quantitative probing of material properties on the local scale. For the last 10, 15 years, the technique has broadened substantially in application in academic and also in industrial environments. But I think there is still a room for further improvement. And for example, this can be done if we start to improve the sensitivity of optical detection or using other kind of detection to go to small amplitudes. Also fast imaging and mapping, that's what people are developing, that's what we needed. Minimization of thermal drift will be also very useful for imaging in the ambience, as well as the development of efficient drive of the probes. Also imaging under liquids is well, I think it's well underdeveloped and needs a lot of efforts of the researchers. Also probes, we need always probes sharper and very diversified. Of course, there is some hurdle. And in this case, I believe one of the main hurdles that's understanding measurements and control of tip sample force interaction. I think if we advance in this field, that will help us to go also to this, to develop a new technical, to solve some technical problems and also develop the way to get new results. And I think the dream, of course, always should be, have a dream, and I think to extract the quantitative nanomechanical data from dynamic IFM modes, I think that's what I believe one of the kind of task which is very valuable. Okay, let's start with this dynamic mode simulation dynamic mode IFM. Of course, in audience there are a lot of people who belongs to hard-working research groups who done a lot in this field, and the several points I want to just to underline. First of all, a lot of work done with point mass and spring models, which use a lot of effective parameters, and only a few groups really go and consider the tip as the solid beam and start to apply Euler-Bernoulli equation to describe its motion. Also, few groups also applying the Krylov-Mitropoulsky-Bogolyubov method of averaging, which helps to solve these motion problems. Also, I want to show that there are also several groups who work hard in nonlinear dynamics application in this field. I can tell you that I put some names, but if somebody has mentioned, just I apologize because I'm kind of new guy in the simulation field, but nevertheless, I want also address a couple of reviews, which I think is very important if people want to go deeper in this area. We are not developing anything new, and this is actually the model what was developed by my collaborator or my friend at Vico, Sergey Belikov. And this is the main features of this model of main approach. First of all, we start to use the Euler-Bernoulli equation to describe the cantilever motion. Plus, we're using the boundary condition, which include the piezo drive for cantilever base. This is rare done by the other researchers. Also, we use the solution of the total equation, a composite of several different solutions. I will show you a little bit later. Then we start to use van der Pol coordinate to bring the measurable value to the amplitude and phase. Also to do separation of the variables in fast and slow, and then using KBM for averaging over the fast variables. And then what we coming, this is couple of equations which is given here. This is the final equation of our approach, where there are a lot of things of parameters, but new things that we start to put forces in a attraction and in a approach and retraction. That means we can also consider the not only conservative, also dissipative cases. Also, you see there are all familiar variables which you can derive from experiment. This is amplitude, phase, also the frequencies. And this is a couple of equations. I will screen slides very fast, next five slides, where I show details of this approach. First of all, and I will underline, this is here boundary conditions where I was shaking as a piezo drive, shaking the base of the cantilever. And this is the way how we're looking for the solution. Solution we are looking as a combination of the base oscillation. This is the oscillation, the free cantilever. This is a motion which caused by the weight of the tip, and this is the component related to tip sample force interactions. Solution was found, and this proposition, and near the first resonance, we have this kind of expression, and three components here they can be given analytically. This is again motion of the drive. This is the free motion of the cantilever induced exclusively by the piezo drive. This is the motion related to the weight of the tip. And this is the most difficult part, which describes the motion due to the tip sample force interaction. And that's part where all the problems coming. Now, I will give you several tricks what we do. This is some kind of simplification of the problem, but here we're using the reverse of the Q factor is a small variable. Also, we use this parameter G related to the frequencies of the eigen frequency and driving frequency of the cantilever. And here you see we start to implement also the forces in approach and their retract. After substitution, this equation reduced to this one, and there are two parts again. This is part which related to the drive induced motion reduced by the piezo drive. You see, it's not trivial. Here, there are a lot of contribution related to the frequencies of that, because in some cases, people arbitrarily just putting simple sinus functions, and I think it's a little bit too simplified. Plus, I want to tell you that we can induce the van der Pol coordinates and bring this problem to the two equations where we have this is the amplitude and this is the phase. In this case, the work is not finished, but you see here the small value, here is a large value, that means this is the amplitude is slow variables and the phase is a fast variable. Now we want to do other steps to bring that close to this separation of the variables. We're introducing the phase shift. And after introduction, because phase shift is a slow variable in this problem, then we're getting these two, again, equations. And then here we come with the KBM method, averaging over the fast variable, in this case, frequency. In this case, it's zeta. Give us two equations here where we continue with the changing the force. This parameter is related to the force. Again, we're introducing the forces here. We are still simplify. We're using the approach and retract force, but we don't include viscoelasticity yet. That's potential to go further. But this is the final equation. And if you go to the stationary solutions, that's, you come to this couple of equations I start with. Okay, this is again these variables, what we see. Now by putting different conditions from these generalized solutions, I can get different cases like tapping mode and frequency mode. Here, you need to drive around the resonance. Therefore, you can get calculate the amplitude and phase as a function of the distance. And this is the Z here. This is average position of cantilever, which gives you the height ADA if you go for the set point amplitude as a feedback, keeping the set point at the same value. And here you can also simulate the images where it's actually Z versus XY or phase versus XY. You can do something similar with frequency modulation. In this case, you can get the simulate the frequency versus Z and amplitude versus Z curves, and also go to the imaging under conditions that you keep the frequency shift at the same level. Also, there are a little bit complications here because some people using constant excitation mode, some people use constant amplitude when they use additional feedback to give energy to the system. But anyhow, this all equations quite nicely allow us to analyze these two different modes. And I can tell you that if we go to the more simple cases like tapping mode and conservative case, then we have very simple conditions like sinus phase related to the this A set point over the A0. And this is consistent with the earlier observation from Cleveland and Associates, which showing that the energy is related to the difference. And in this case, phase will not give me much signal. It will be constant everywhere. Also, if you go to the case of the frequency modulation, where you keeping the phase shift as a pi over 2 to stay in the resonance continuously, then you have two different equations. And this equation, bottom one, easily convertible either to the equation of the Hughes-Sedary and Jarvis. This is, I think, the continuation of the Giesel work, where they want to extract the force information from this equation, or the work of described by Garcia and Perez, which gives similar equation with simple substitution. The simplicity of this equation is also related to the fact that people are using average force, and this is assumed that this is a conservative case. In this case, we have both components, and we have plus extra condition, extra equation. I think this is more full described situation. And here, by getting the experimental measurements, we can also try to do very hard work, try to deduct the components of force in approach and also in retraction. I think that's a very difficult task with trying to go along this line, because that will give you unique information towards extracting the quantitative data from dynamic properties. I'll give you several applications. First application, very simple. It's related to tapping mode imaging polydiethylene crystals. This is the very simple samples. This is a crystal of polydiethylene, and the macroscopical surface is formed by these molecular groups of this side substitutes of the main chain. And there are lattices, the lattice B and C. And if you look on this surface, and I've done this imaging with tapping mode, you see I have a variety of the images as a color atomical molecular scale. There are three remarkable features of that. First of all, first I was thinking that I can do it's only sharp, extremely sharp tips carbon spikes. Then I realized that I can get similar images with diamond probes. This single diamond probe is a 5 nanometer radius at the end, or even with regular silicon probes. It means, second, that I have the pattern variations. And that's what people do atomic scale. They know that there are pattern variation. And the third things, in this pattern variation, you see there are periodicity. The molecular periodicity is here, then T1 and TUX. We see the periodicity, which is sometimes twice double, and see also periodicity with the less than molecular spacing, which is very unexpected. But also a lot of discussion what it means true or not true. People accepting that presence of the defect in molecular or atomic lattice is indication that you get true atomic imaging. I don't know if it's true or not. I will give you my concerns about that. Now see what happened when we start to model the situation. We take the forces described by the Hertz, and Sergey developed the LabVIEW FM simulator, which based on this KBM solution of the motion problem. Here we put the all atom coordinates of this crystal. Here we put also the modulus of the crystal, modulus of the tip, average modulus. Here we put parameters of the cantilever. Here we put the tapping mode amplitude and set point amplitude. Now we start to solve this equation, and I can tell you that there are several things which can be understood from this kind of sketch. Sometimes, in addition to periodicity, when you, if you take the tip as this sphere with radius r, at different radiuses and different forces from the real periodicity, which is related to the atomic corrugation, you can have something different. You can have when you tip standing between, when you tip standing between two atoms, sometimes you have experienced the force from both of them, which gives you additional peak in the force. Or sometimes when you go to larger tips, then you have the spacing becomes larger. And this, indeed, this is what we observe in our simulation. You see, if you take the crystallographic structure of the surface and do light tapping, is just you are just barely touching your surface, then only atomic scale tip will give you correct reproduction of this crystalline surface. If your tip radius start to increase, you will have the periodicities very close to the expected one, but you see the pattern is changing. Actually, you can get periodicity with the tip even radius 100 nanometer, but the trick is the corrugation. Corrugation becomes smaller when the tip's radius is increasing. Therefore, this is beyond sensitivity of our instrumentation. We still can do something on the 5 nanometer tip and corrugation in sub-extreme range. Now, that is doable. Now we'll see what happens if you start to change the force. This is set point, force start to decrease, and forces start to increase. Tip has a radius of 5 nanometer, more realistic one, but you start to see that the pattern substantially changes the function of the force. It means all the structures seen here and here, even here, is already faked lattices. They have nothing to do with the original structure of the crystalline surface. Plus, if you look carefully along the periodical lines, either through the y direction, if you go to lower forces, you start to see from the 12 peak, 11 peaks appear. This is kind of which you can call as a y bifurcation. The going to the regime when you don't feel the single tip, but having the sensing less tips, like in this profile. Or you see the X bifurcation as well here, and this, when you go from the one level of the force to larger one, then you start to see instead of 9 peaks, you start to reduction the number of peaks. And this is the, actually, this is experimental profile. We can find correspondence to that which we calculated. Therefore, the imaging was very tricky, especially there is another fact that if you remove a couple of molecules, start to look on this surface, then you start to see that the true surface and true defects you see only in the images which are done with the tips of atomical size and relatively low forces. If you increase your size of the tip and decrease a little bit force, what you still see the defects. But the periodicity, the lattice around the defects is already faked. Therefore, the truth is only that there are the defects. All other information is fake. Therefore, presence of single atomic molecular defects in FM images does not mean that true atomic resolution in imaging of surrounding lattice was achieved. But there are the message. If you want really to go to high resolution, go to very low forces. This is increase of sensitivity. And go to the very sharp tips. I think a lot of sharp tips were just damaging on engagement now. Now we're switching from the molecular resolution imaging to mechanics, because in mechanics, and we do a lot of mechanics now because we want to get quantitative data. And we found out at this stage it's much easier to get quantitative data with roundish tip, where you know exactly the radius. They're not so bad even for imaging. You see, the imaging of the lattice of block of polymer with the sharp tip and the tips which is 80 times larger in radius, that doesn't look much different. Of course, this is to this point, even with 100 nanometer tips, you can see sometimes lateral corrugation on molecular scale. But the point is here. First of all, we take this tip and do what we used to do all the time. Sorry, this is the phase imaging on the blend of polyethylene. This is the red blend, the high density, therefore it's more stiffer than the neighboring one. Then if you do typical phase imaging, what you see that in hard tapping, the phase contrast shows the most distinctively the two different components. It's actually, sometimes people say that the phase is the energy dissipation. I think this is a little bit of misleading because the energy dissipation is sinus phase. And if you build the maps of the sinus phase, you see this sometimes is not as pronounced as the phase imaging. Still phase, which has not really much physical sense, has much a lot of use in the compositional mapping because it gives you highest contrast. Then this is the case, but you see I have also other case which show that in this case, this is polypropylene PDM. In this case, saturation is not bad, and sinus phase maps are reproduced the same the phase as it was. Plus, this is material, I think, like around 500 times, 500 times different than stiffness. Now, because phase gives some compositional mapping, doesn't give you quantity. Therefore, the only way we do quantity now, going with the nano-indentation, using deflection versus indentation curves, and this is just two type of measurements on different polyethylenes. You see, after conversion, the deflection versus Z travel to the dependence of the force of the penetration, you have this type of curves, and people using Sneden and OFR models to get the numerical data, they become much easier to do when you have well-defined the tips, and you can use this shape, and we have this corresponding software to calculate the models, for example, polyethylene in this case. Here you see there are some plasticity. If you go to the rubber, this completely elastic case, and this is the number you have here with Sneden approach. Again, here you see we're still doing a lot of nanomechanics, but we are rare combining adhesion and viscoelasticity in this type of measurements, so that should be done in the nearest future. Now, this is nanomechanical measurement. It has some limits. Of course, IFM complements other techniques like nanoindentation, but IFM has definite advantages if you go to very extreme resolution. First example is depth resolution. You see, this is the crystal of single, this is a single crystal of alkanes, where the chain folded like in polyethylene and formed very nice lozenge. In this case, you have three lozenges sitting on each other. And now you can do your deflection curve on the single, on the two of them, and the three of them. What you see, you have in all three cases, you see the same picture. You have elastic deformation, then plastic. This is for single crystal. There are for two crystals. You top crystal, you have elastic, then plastic. Then on underlying crystal, you have elastic, then plastic. On three, you have the same picture. That means it's important to know we have both elastic and plastic regime. It's important to know that we can go elastic in the few nanometers. And I think that gives you evidence that we can do this deformation in the nanometer, and we already seen today even on smaller scales. That's cool stuff from the FM application, but laterally we still are lagging because let's say consider the block of polymer, and this is done in deflection curve. We was starting to increase the loading of force, and we start to deform surfaces, we start to leave the deformation marks and indents, and you see the indents comparable or even larger than the size of the single domain we want to look mechanics. Then I think in this case might be worse to look on the amplitude curves, which is a kind of exist in the tapping mode, and you see you can vary this the level of the amplitude damping and induce. Here you don't do much deformation. Here you start to see that you can also deform that. But you can control that forces, and actually the force curves here, amplitude versus Z curves, you see this is a series done in different places. And another example, if you take SBS and the force volume where you can record it, amplitude versus distance curves, and here you have 128 points and 128 lines. And you see the map, which is absolute map of Z, showing how much you have need to push your sample up in Z to damp the amplitude of cantilever the same level on polystyrene and on the polybutadiene. And that's give you the differences. Brighter is polybutadiene because you need larger Z to damp the cantilever to the same level. Also, you can go down to 100 nanometer scale again. Here, every 128 curves, but 128 lines. You see, it practically we can measure every pixel, the mechanical response. And I think expanding the amplitude versus distance curves for non-mechanic analysis will be very fruitful. But again, we need to know how to extract forces from that dynamic curves. And so this is a point. We start to work on that. In this case, we take again the model and start to look for simulate this amplitude and phase curves in the tapping mode. And we do very simple now. We're only dealing with Leonard Jones potential, and we're using Dirac conversion from the plane to the sphere plane interaction. And then we borrow these slides from Maggie's book. We're showing that there are several interesting cases which are called adhesive avalanches. It can be material related where the two materials come closer, then the instabilities here related with the force gradients, attractive forces, also the forces between the layers of the atoms. Also, and this kind of related diagram of the force of energy versus distance. There are also, and we're probably more familiar with strength instrument or environment related avalanche where the stiffness cantilever is not enough, and then with the interaction gradient becomes stronger, then we come to the contact. And this instability, I think people already discussed here. Now, what our calculation is showing here. This is the calculation which we've done modeling. This is the what found. We found these three solutions. You see, there are two stable branches and one unstable. And they are corresponding green and the white is stable and the red is unstable. Then in the case, and this is a case of a conservative case, we start to see that the amplitude start go on this green branch. And then here, as soon as there is the burst of the another bright white branch and also the burst of the red unstable solution. When unstable line comes from bright to the green, then the system jump to the bright, and then going down with Z, you see there can be jumps in the bottom part. And you see this is well-defined in phase, where you see system going down first in attractive, then to repulsive again, go up, and then can jump again back to that. And you can go and experiment, let's say, on a silicon, you found very similar events happening. Here, there are this jump from attractive to repulsive and the small set points. Also, this is two curves and two phase curves done at the same location, but different times. You see there is instability in the bottom part and the lower part as well, which is related to this instability. It means this model also kind of describe the main features of experimental force curves. Even following, we can change the radius of the tip. And what we start to see that from the small radius of the tip, the jump from attractive to repulsive coming here, and this is a small, and then with the increase of the tip, the radius, you see that jumps going lower to smaller set point, and more time tip spend in more attractive regime than repulsive regime. And this kind of things show us that we can model the adhesion or effect of the increase of the radius. Also, we can consider this instrumental adhesive avalanche here when we start to see this energy dissipation. We again took in consideration one of trace and retrace curves. And this, if you remember, this force is attractive and repulsive, and simulate this curve. Then what we start to see that in this case, the jump going at much smaller set points, we're staying on the red, and then staying in the green until the red approaches and match the green, then you jump to the white branch. Also in phase, you see this kind of behavior. It's interesting because this energy is a dissipation, people are always talking, but this is nothing to do with material properties. Period. It's a dissipation which arranged by your instrumentation. And I think sometimes people can mislead it, interpret that as a property of the material. Now I will show you that this simulated curve has analogs in the real experimental curve, and this is on two blends of polyethylene, on blends of polypropylene and EPDM. You see, we have these transitions on polymer material. On silicon materials, it's easy to get that. On polymer material, you have only with sharp tips, because we can change the tips and see how the radius of the tips involved in this force curve. And you see, then you go to the softer material where adhesive component increasing, or to the tips with a larger radius, you start to see that that transition becomes not so sharp and disappearing. Also, you see more and more time tip span in attractive regime as come from the simulation as well. And also in this blend, polypropylene APDM, one is plastic and another rubber, you see only in polyplastic with a very sharp cantilever, this transition very close to the free at high amplitude. Then it's also neglecting and then disappear. And also you don't see it with APDM. So this is what we've done so far. The next step will be to go and do something more, because there is some initial efforts in the described in this paper is here from Purdue University, which people try to match Leonard Johnson with some models describe the deformation of the sample. That's kind of Leonard Johnson DMT. Yeah, this we probably will go along this line, and we want to match the Leonard Johnson solid, and this is kind of sketch again based on the McGee's book, and this is McGee's approach where he can have the parameter which you can adjust your real behavior between DMT and JKR, right? What is important, in both parts we have the parameters, adhesion radius and the zero is equilibrium, z distance in the bottom of the energy curves, and an elastic solid, we also have similar parameters, plus we start to have model, and this is kind of matching parameter from the MAGIS. And I think our idea, go and do find the function we're describing this tip sample force interaction and apply to develop the model further. By that, we come into the summary that we presented the model of dynamic IFM, which based on rigorous consideration of the probe motions using KBM methods. Also, we consider the case near the first resonance only. The model also, we can apply it for the molecular lattices, and we have some kind of important messages concerning the high resolution imaging. Also, we done the simulation of the curve, and there are some analogies first with experimental curves, and also in general, we see that our model is on the same playground with other people. We don't found something extremely new. We just try to get more realistic parameters in the model, then we can come closer and closer to the experiment value. And also, I put a set of experimental data to relate it to the non-mechanic studies of polymers, and again, trying to show you that where we also get the progress if we can understand how to get the forces and deformation from dynamic IFM modes and curves. And this way, and this is acknowledgement, this is a work done according to the grant awarded by the US government, and I thank you for your attention. Thank you.